Yes, Akim.
Do you know what happened last night?
What happened, Akim?
Well, I saw Santa Claus, and do you know what?
What, Akim?
He looked a lot like you. He was handsome.
I can dig it.
He was black.
Right on.
He had an afro. He was really out of sight. Now I'm going to tell everybody that I saw Santa.
That's pretty cool.
Santa Claus is a black man.
We've got a great show lined up for you, as always. We've got Agent Koshker on from the Space Hijackers to talk about some of their latest hijinks. And we did an interview with the Protest CGA. Several participants have come over from Italy to talk about the various trials in relation to the Genoa GA. And last, we have a Critical Mass interview with Jess Kay that Patrick did for us to talk about the recent decision from the House of Lords. Lots of legal stuff on, apparently, tonight. So, yeah, but Adam's here, ready to take it away with Agent Koshker.
Yes. Hello.
Agent Koshker.
Hi.
You got here in one piece because...
Yes.
Because you had some technical difficulties also.
I had some bike problems, but it's an occupation hazard. It's okay. It's still better than the bus.
This is true. Right, can you tell us about who are the Space Hijackers? Space Hijackers, and what do you do?
The Space Hijackers are a disorganisation of London-based anarchitects. Think about it. Who work to reclaim public space from the encroaching corporations and commercial spaces that are taking it over, especially in the cities. So we do all sorts of different actions about taking it back, really, and making the space that we all live in, the space that we can do what we want to do with it, rather than what we're told we can do with it or what it's bought and sold for.
Wow. That was quite a formidable description. Kind of a bit situationist.
A little bit situationist inspired.
Yeah.
Perhaps, yes.
So, can you give us some examples of some of the stuff you get up to?
Sure. Well, one of the most famous ones, and I suppose the sort of thing that started it all off, was the Circle Line parties, which was obviously taking over public space, the tube that everyone is shoved into. And making it into a party. So, like, getting out sound systems and drinks and dancing and then being quiet in between the stations, all that sort of thing.
And how many people did you have?
By the third one, it was like, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. It was enormous. It got a little bit too big, I think. But, I mean, that was a while ago, and since then there's, I mean, different things, street parties in Canary Wharf for May Day to try and take back a bit of totally private corporate land, experiences with the arms fair, and a lot of experiences in Topshop, Oxford Circus, trying to disrupt kind of consumerist spectacles in various different ways. I mean, we do a lot of things about a lot of different issues, because the main thing that keeps it all together is the idea of sort of creatively using the space that we're given and trying to move into different areas from just marches and that sort of thing to try and get people a bit interactive. And it's a sort of, I suppose it's a sort of art activism thing.
One of the things you mentioned was stuff around the arms fair and the arms industry. There's something you're the kind of something you've been focusing on recently is around the Excel Centre in East London. Could you explain what that is?
The Excel Centre in East London is home to the Dicey Arms Fair, which is Defence Systems Equipment International, which is held every 2 years, and it's basically a massive market for arms dealers. So Britain makes a lot of money out of it, and a lot of different countries from all around the world come to buy their guns and heat-seeking missiles and cluster bombs to use on wars that they're having with each other, to use on human rights abuses. It's completely enormous, but it's also completely kind of hush-hush in lots of ways. Like, Excel don't advertise it on their sort of yearly schedule, but at the same time they say, oh, it's a legitimate business, it's totally entitled to happen.
The Excel Centre itself is in quite a weird kind of area, isn't it? It's kind of in East London, near Canary Wharf.
Yeah, it's even further out than Canary Wharf. It's right out in Docklands, and the reason they put it there was actually because it's right by the river, so they can bring in all their warships and all that sort of thing. It's a crazy space. It's completely enormous and completely hyper controlled. And I don't know, it's the size of a small village. It's bizarre.
Yeah, and who are the people who own? Who are the people who run the arms fair now?
Well, as of recently, up to last year, it was run by Reed Elsevier, who, as well as a few other things, do publications. They do medical journals and teaching textbooks. And
that's basically, like, quite appropriate.
Well, exactly, because their shtick was that, well, whatever we're selling, it's selling as the business. It doesn't matter what it is. But a lot of the people who Reed needed, as in the doctors and the teachers, actually put up a bit of an uproar about it. And alongside the really amazing work done by Kat and by other anti-arms activists and Disarm Dicey, there was a lot of pressure put on Reed, and eventually they sold it. And there was a lot of sort of what's going to go on about who's going to buy it. And Clarion Events are the people who've bought it now, who have a whole roster of fairs under their belt. And they've decided to expand their portfolio into the arms business, basically. They've bought up the Dicey Arms Fair and a couple of other ones.
Okay, and so where have they branched out from? What did they do originally?
They did originally, and they still do, an enormous number of things like antique fairs and horse shows and travel fairs and all these kind of ridiculous shopping expos. And basically, recently, since they've bought the arms fair, the main shows that they've had are the baby show, which the tagline is a celebration of life, which is obviously beautiful when they're also celebrating death in quite an amazing way. And the Spirit of Christmas Fair, which just happened a few weeks ago. Yeah, exactly.
And what did you get up to at the Spirit of Christmas Fair?
Well, the Spirit of Christmas Fair, we wanted to help out Clarion, basically, because, you know, they're expanding into a new customer base, and they've really got a lot of customers who are interested in, you know, buying, you know, old trinkets and horses and travel and, like, nappies and that sort of stuff. So we thought, you know, we wanted to help them make sure that they knew the new stuff that they could buy, because they were enjoying the shopping experiences of the that Clarion were putting on. You know, it's all, everything under one roof, don't need to go out into the weather and everything. And they like buying things that way, so we thought we'd help them buy other things like cluster bombs and and tanks and arms and guns and things like that. And so we went along to the Christmas fair. I mean, we did it at the baby show as well. Most recently and sort of seasonally appropriate, I suppose, the Christmas fair. So we went along in our Santa hats to do a bit of cross marketing, which basically involved inviting the people, the shoppers all coming out burdened with, you know, tinsel and Christmas cakes and, like, random rubbish that they don't need, and telling them about the other shopping opportunities that Clarion was offering them, and giving them free entry to the arms fair. Actually, we had these leaflets that we were waving around trying to get them to come over, and we realised with the baby show that a way to get people interested in leaflets is to write on really large letters like 50% off or free, and then and then they switch off from the normal thing, like, oh, someone's waving a leaflet at me, go away. They're like, oh, free, whatever it is. So that's a good way in.
So how did people respond? Were they quite keen to
it was varied reactions. I have to say, the first main reaction was just like total confusion, which was quite fun, actually. And a few people were actually quite keen. One woman was like, oh, that's great, I'll tell my husband, he'll love that. Yeah, I know. At this point it was like raining and we were like, oh no, this is what's going on. But then lots of people were just completely shocked. They just couldn't really believe it. I mean, they thought we were just making it up, which obviously we were making something up, but we weren't making up the truth of it. And they were shocked. They couldn't believe it. They were like, what? This just in such a different space, because they're in this Spirit of Christmas space, like baby Jesus and shining wrapping paper and whatever. Yeah, exactly, all that stuff. And then suddenly, you know, we're saying, well, actually, what, you know, that you can buy in exactly the same way. And that's what's really interesting, is that they get shocked when you're pointing out what Clarion are doing. Clarion say, oh, it's a legitimate business, you know, it's a legitimate industry, we can sell suitcases and we can sell holidays and we can sell guns and it's all the same. But when you approach the people who are actually buying that stuff with that same attitude of like, oh, well, it's completely the same, and if you've enjoyed this, you'll enjoy that, they're just like completely, completely shocked. So and yeah, I mean, it was really interesting, because a lot of people were sort of shocked to the point of confusion and walking away, like just not knowing what was going on. But then they had their little leaflets, which hopefully would sink in. But lots of people were really, really like outraged, and a lot of the exhibitors as well, who had actually been, you know, who Clarion really needs, were shocked. And you know, we put the sort of the email address of Clarion's marketing director, which is simon.kimball@clarionevents.com, if anyone else wants to you know, express their happiness at the new shopping opportunities that they're offered. And yeah, and lots of people were really appalled, really, really appalled, especially when they're coming out and realizing that they spent all this money that was then going to go into this other thing. So it was really effective in that way, because people have no clue, and it's so, I mean, you don't need to convince anyone that it's like a strange thing to do, that it's a weird juxtaposition. Instantly people are like, what, Spirit of Christmas, it's all like little kids and like happiness, and then the bombs and the, what, and it's just, you know, so it was really effective in that way, I think.
Wow. That sounds like it was went down pretty well.
Yeah.
So what are there any other things you got lined up anytime soon that people?
Well, in terms of Clarion, like the important thing about the Clarion thing, I think, is that it's like it should be and is a sort of sustained campaign with a lot of different people getting involved, because that was the way it was with Reed, and that was what's really effective, and kind of building on the, you know, on the kind of potential PR damage, I suppose, that they've seen Reed happen, that maybe we can start to build. I mean, at the baby show, which as well was amazing, because all the sort of the mums, you know, not in the mind frame to be thinking about like wars on the other side of the world, but that's what it is, that's what's going on. Yeah, and the, you know, Kat were involved with that as well, and that's the campaign against the arms trade. And also I think it was Bounty, who was one of the sponsors, and pulled out of the baby show due to the like horrible connection with the arms trade. So I think it's like it's really a building thing. So there's another baby show in March, and there's a, which we're probably going to be at as well, so come along. Yeah, there's a few other things. I mean, they have some shows that we considered doing a similar action to, but then realised it wasn't going to work, like the Top Gear show, which we thought wouldn't be like ironic at all, and everyone would just be really up for it. So we had to give that one a miss. But yeah, I mean, they've got lots of shows coming up, like yeah, antiques fairs and horse shows.
Do you have like a website or something where people can?
We do indeed have a website, which is www.spacehijackers.co.uk. Which has got, you know, little sort of manifestos of the sort of thing that we're about, and has also got reports of all the different actions that have happened. And also, it has a little section where you can join in if you want to. Please come along and play. You just press a sort of agent application.
Very formal.
Well, no, it's not formal. It's just, you know, it's this sort of, I mean, part of the thing that works about the Space Hijackers is that it does have that kind of playful vibe to it. So it's about this kind of creativity that you can have, and the fun and the excitement you can have from rebelling in the spaces that you're given. So like there is a bit of role play involved. There is a bit of kind of imagination, and so we build on that with just like silly things like the website being, you know, quite exciting, and yeah.
Nice one. Well, I think we'll have to leave it there, but thank you very much for coming on.
You're welcome.
And
thanks for having me.
We wish you luck with all your future endeavours.
Thank you very much.
We're going to dedicate to a great American organization. Tonight, I'd like to dedicate this to our boys in the FBI. Well, so wait a minute. It's hard to be an FBI man. I mean, first of all, to be an FBI man, you have to be over 40 years old. And the reason is that it takes at least 25 years with the organization to be that much of a bastard. Well, it's true, you just can't join. You know, it needs an atmosphere where your natural bastardness can grow and develop and take a meaningful shape in today's complex society. So that's not why I want to dedicate the song to the FBI. I mean, the job that they have to do is a drag. I mean, they have to follow people around. You know, that's part of their job. Follow me around. I'm out on the highway and I'm driving down the road and I run out of gasoline. I pull over to the side of the road. They got to pull over too, make believe that they ran out. You know, I go to get some gasoline. They have to figure out whether they should stick with the car or follow me. Suppose I don't come back and they're staying with the car. Or if I fly on the airplanes. I could fly half fare because I'm 12 to 22. And they got to pay the full fare. But, well, no, but the thing is that when you pay the full fare, you have to get on the airplane first so that they know how many seats are left over for the half fare kids. Right? And sometimes there aren't any seats left over, and sometimes there are, but that doesn't mean that you have to go. So, well, suppose that he gets on and fills up the last seat. So you can't get on, then he gets off, then you can get on. Then what's he gonna do? Well, it's a drag for him. But that's not why I want to dedicate the song to the FBI. During these hard days and hard weeks, everybody always has it bad once in a while. You know, you have a bad time of it. And you always have a friend that says, hey man, you ain't got it that bad. Look at that guy. And you look at that guy, and he's got it worse than you. And it makes you feel better that there's somebody that's got it worse than you. But think of the last guy. For one minute, think of the last guy. Nobody's got it worse than that guy. Nobody in the whole world. That guy, he's so alone in the world that he doesn't even have a street to lay in for a truck to run him over. He's out there with nothing. Nothing's happening for that cat. And all that he has to do to create a little excitement in his own life is to bum a dime from somewhere. Call up the FBI. Say, FBI? They say, yes. Say, I dig Uncle Ho and Chairman Mao and their friends are coming over for dinner. Hang up the phone. And within 2 minutes, and not 2 minutes from when he hangs up the phone, but 2 minutes from when he first put the dime in, they got 30,000 feet of tape rolling. Files on tape, pictures, movies, dramas, actions on tape. But then they send out 500,000 people all over the entire world, the globe, to find out all they can about this guy. Because there's a number of questions involved in this guy. I mean, if he was the last guy in the world, how did he get a dime to call the FBI? There are plenty of people that aren't the last guys that can't get dimes. He comes along and he gets a dime. I mean, if he had to bum a dime to call the FBI, how was he going to serve dinner for all those people? How could the last guy make dinner for all those people? And if he could make dinner and was going to make dinner, then why did he call the FBI? And they find out all of those questions within 2 minutes. And that's a great thing about America. I mean, this is the only country in the world. I mean, well, it's not the only country in the world that could find stuff out in 2 minutes. But it's the only country in the world that would take 2 minutes for that guy. Well, other countries would say he. You know? But in America, there is no discrimination. And there is no hypocrisy. Because they'll get anybody. And that's a wonderful thing about America. And that's why tonight, I'd like to dedicate it to every FBI man in the audience. I know, you can't say nothing, you know. You can't get up and say, hi! You know, because then everybody knows that you're an FBI man. That's a drag for you and your friends. They're not really your friends, are they? You know. I mean, so you can't get up and say nothing, because otherwise you got to get sent back to the factory. And that's a drag for you, and it's an expense for the government. And that's a drag for you. We're going to sing you this Christmas carol. For all you bastards out there in the audience tonight. called The Paws of Mr. Clowns. Why do you sit there so strange? Is it because you are beautiful? You must think you are deranged. Why do police guys beat on these guys? You must think Santa Claus will. He has long hair and a beard, giving his presents for free. Why do police guys mess with these guys? Let's get Santa Claus cause Santa Claus has a red suit, he's a communist. And a beard and long hair must be a pacifist. What's in the pipe that he's smoking? Mr. Claus sneaks in your house at night. He must be a dope fiend to put you up tight. Why do these guys beat on these guys?
Now we'll hear from Processi G8, a project and documentation center staffed by volunteers, several of whom came to London from Italy and talked to us in this interview. An incredible amount of hard work was contributed to the various Genoa G8 trials by many people, participants and observers of the Genoa G8, as well as Indie Media Italy. The lawyers on the case also worked pro bono, and all this coordination continued over a six-year period. The Processi G8 has made a film about 25 G8 demonstrators who were charged with a total of 110 years, maximum prison sentence being for 11, for basically devastating and looting, which is essentially minor property damage. Using the evidence they gathered and juxtaposing it with police statements and testimony, they highlight the level of corruption and the amount of complete and utter lies that are at the foundation of the police's case. This Diaz judgment, with various gross miscarriages of legal justice, was recently handed down. Just to remind you, I'll quote an Indie Media article written by Vincenzo briefly to give you some background on the trial. The raid on the Diaz school took place on the night of the 21st July 2001 and resulted in 93 people being illegally arrested and falsely accused, with 61 of those beaten so badly during the raid that they required hospital treatment. Of the 29 Italian police officers accused for these crimes, 13 have been convicted and 16 acquitted. It may not surprise you to hear that those convicted are mainly rank and file from the first unit to enter the building, while none of the more senior officers accused were found guilty.
Well, we are about six people that have come from Genoa, mm-hmm. that have worked all in relation to the trials. That is the legal consequences of the G8 in Genoa in 2001. I'm a plaintiff, but the rest of the people in the room have worked in the legal secretariat. Okay. That is an office that has been constituted to work on the audiovisual material and on the trials, has helped the lawyers organize the material, helped the demonstrators accused by the police, and help the cases against the police.
Sono Carlo, ho lavorato al processo G8 e dunque anche al processo Diaz insieme ad altre persone del Genoa Legal Forum.
I am Carlo. I have worked for the association Processi G8 and together with other people on the trials, and therefore also on the Dietz trial, together with the lawyers in the big coordination of the General Legal Forum.
Il processo Dietz è stato molto difficile. Era un processo contro la polizia italiana, un processo internazionale per le persone, le parti offese che hanno testimoniato.
The Dietz trial was a very difficult trial. It was an international trial for very many plaintiffs that came from all over Europe.
E la sentenza ha deluso tutti. Aspettiamo le motivazioni a febbraio per capire come il tribunale ha ricostruito la notte della Dietz.
The verdict has disappointed everybody. We are waiting for the judge to give his motivations in February to know how he arguments his verdict.
Non ha sorpreso, come molti hanno detto, che la polizia, i capi della polizia siano stati assolti, ma ha preoccupato il percorso fatto in questi tre anni nel processo.
We are not surprised that the top cops have been acquitted. We are surprised by the way this trial has evolved during these years.
La polizia ha tentato di bloccare, inquinare, intimidire più volte durante questo processo chi ha seguito il processo stesso.
The police has tried to block the trial, to prevent the people working on it from working on it, to prevent the trial from arriving to its end.
E dunque questa sentenza è ancora più significativa rispetto al lavoro fatto in silenzio, purtroppo, non avendo i media che hanno fatto conoscere questo importante processo. Il risultato è ancora più grave, pensiamo, di quello che la sentenza stessa ha dato.
So, seeing the development of the trial all these years, the verdict of the judge is even more significant, and during all these years of work in silence, which the media have not covered, we know how grave the situation is.
The only thing that I would like to say is that what we think is that it's too simple to say to liquidate this verdict, saying that yes, we know that the police cannot judge the police, and the state cannot judge himself. Mm. It's too simple to say that, and the thing that we learn in these years is that it's something about the method of working of the police. And this is the important thing. Now we know a lot about the police, their method of managing the public order, and what they do in the street, what they do during the trials, what is these their the way of conduzione di un processo, come conducono un processo, their strategy in trials, what do they do during the trials. For example, they make disappear the evidences.
Yeah.
This is one thing. They make fake testimonies.
Yeah.
And all false testimonies are connected.
Yeah.
In,
so it's obvious so, they were working together.
Yes, if there are 28 cops, there are 29 true, and you cannot understand their strategy, but just after you can have an idea of what they are doing. Their method is always to trying to deviate, I think. Mm-hmm. This is what we learn.
How do you feel this is going to affect political activity in Italy? Because there's all these demonstrations right now going on in Italy in regards to the education system against Berlusconi and the Germanator. Or,
yeah.
Or do you see it as related as well? I mean, do you see perhaps the political activity happening now is sort of like a result of all this police repression. And
io penso che il problema sia che la il processo Diaz non ha fatto solo emergere che la polizia e la politica istituzionale italiana ha vinto.
The Diaz trial has not only proven that the police and the state institutions have won.
Ma anche un altro potere, diciamo, della che gestisce in parte la comunicazione, l'informazione ha vinto.
And also that there is another power, the power of the media.
Parlo dei media ufficiali che non hanno informato, che non hanno fatto conoscere non solo la Diaz ma il G8.
The official media that has not informed about what happened during the G8, not only the Diaz but the whole G8.
E dunque alla fine dei processi G8 dopo 7 anni pochissime persone possono sapere cosa è successo in questi anni e riconoscere il valore di questo processo, di questi processi.
So at the end of all this work very little people know the extent and the gravity of what has happened during the trial.
E penso che questo sia molto grave e sia un allarme, perché molte persone non conoscono il G8, non conoscono che cos'è la Diaz e altre sono rimaste ad un'informazione molto legata ai media ufficiali e soprattutto legata al 2001. Non conoscono l'evoluzione della storia di questi anni, che è molto significativa così come è stata il G8 stesso 7 anni fa.
So many people are very influenced by this, by the media, and they only have this version, and they don't know especially the story of what happened after 2001, which has been very significant to explain what happened during the G8.
E infine penso allora che il problema, l'allarme finale rispetto a questi processi sia da una parte la possibilità di manifestare, cioè che il movimento possa esprimere le proprie idee, ma dall'altra che le persone in generale sono più controllate da un'informazione unica che rende le persone immobili.
So on the one hand you have the verdict of the trial that puts into question the possibility of even demonstrating the direct repression, but also on the other hand these mass media that have controlled the information that the people have received.
Il G8 di Genova ha distrutto il movimento di Genova, ma ha distrutto il movimento in questi 7 anni. A un anno dal prossimo G8, in questo momento il movimento non c'è.
The G8 in Genoa destroyed the movement in Genoa and in Italy. And one year, there is 1 year to go to the next G8 in Italy, and the movement is has been destroyed. There is no movement in the moment.
What sort of coverage was happening over the past 6 years or so of the trials and of what happens in Genoa? Could you even speculate on what sort of public sentiment there is towards what happened?
Ma i media non hanno parlato del G8. E quando l'hanno fatto hanno parlato solo di Black Bloc e di qualche poliziotto cattivo.
The media have not talked very much about the G8, but it was always in the context of the Black Bloc and of some bad cops.
L'immagine mediatica e spettacolare che hanno proposto i media è sempre stata quella di due giorni di pazzia in cui due parti si sono scontrate tra di loro.
Due bande.
The media have proposed the G8 as a spectacle, a spectacular event, were two gangs.
Of 2 days of madness.
2 days of madness where two gangs went one against the other.
Dunque i media ufficiali non hanno aiutato a capire cosa è successo, ma hanno sempre riproposto la stessa immagine di un G8 cinematografico.
So the institutional media have not contributed to understand what happened during these days, but always have reproposed the same image of this nearly movie cinematographic event.
Do you think the average Italian or even the average European Union citizen knows what happened in Genoa 6 years ago? Or
I think not, because the answer is what Carlo said, because what the people know about Genoa is just random images of a riot. There is not knowledge about what happened, and this is what we are dealing with. What happened for me was not an example of repression, but was an opportunity. What is a repression is always, maybe it's too positive, it's too positive thinking, but it's an opportunity of know what democracy is, and knowledge is power, I think.
Yeah.
Just this.
Yeah, it's really
interesting. Posso dire anche una cosa? Che... fatto che ci sia una così bassa conoscenza anche da parte di quelli che hanno vissuto in un'età, diciamo, matura i fatti del G8, ha fatto sì che i ragazzi che ci sono adesso, cioè quelli dei licei, quelli che stanno appena iniziando l'università, comunque quelli che quando c'è stato il G8 erano più piccoli, non sappiano nulla nella maggior parte dei casi, che secondo me è la cosa più preoccupante.
What he finds that is really preoccupying is the fact that also the younger generations have not been informed of what happened. The people that are occupying the universities, the young students that at the time were too young to participate, do not have enough knowledge on what happened.
Una cosa però le persone sanno del G8 di Genova è che in maggioranza le persone che vanno normalmente a manifestare in piazza sono dei potenziali terroristi.
One thing the people know about Genoa and is that the people that go to demonstrate on the streets are potential terrorists.
Are terrorists, not potential. Think about what happened in France. You know, in France they arrested 9 people for nothing, and they are charged with terrorism.
We will hear more from the Processi GA participants after this musical interlude.
Ticka ticka tock, ticka ticka tock, my golden hen, my golden hen. Ticka ticka tock, my golden hen. Ticka ticka tock, my golden hen. She lay next for the gentleman. Sometime 9 and sometime 10, and oh, and whenever she lay, she make on a la 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 la. She didn't eat no breakfast, no. She wake up this morning, she no eat no breakfast. She leave out my home and she faint in the path. She give my neighborhood a lots of remarks, lots of remarks. She give them lots of remarks, lots of remarks. It was not my fault when she faint in the path. Lord God, no. Hey little girl, don't be like a rolling car. Oh, before the wind you're gonna beat out the shaft. If you leave like a rolling calf, no. Don't leave like a rolling calf, no. Tick-a-tock-a-tock, my golden hen. She lay next for the gentleman. Sometime 9 and sometime 10, whoa. Whenever she lay, Lord, she make an alarm. Cock, 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 me lay-o, 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 whoa, lay-o, whoa. But I've been searching from morning for my golden hen, whoa. But I've been searching from morning, morning,
for my golden age. Because she's my best friend. Because she's my best friend. Searching for morning, morning. Because she's my best friend. Whoa, whoa. Ticka, ticka, tock, my golden end. Come on back, come on back. Ticka, ticka, tock, my golden end. Come on back, back. Come on back. Whoa. I beg you, please, come on back, girl. So, ticka, ticka, tock, my golden end. Lay next for the gentleman, man, man. Sometime man, nine man, and sometime ten. Man, whoa. Whoa. And whenever she late, she make an alarm. Cock, 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 me leo, me leo, leo, whoa.
And here is part two of the Proche CG8 interview. Just as maybe as activists or as people who are involved in these trials and then have seen the outcome and have seen, like, the results, do you have any sort of vision of what can happen or what should happen and what people should be focusing on in their activity? I guess to clarify, in a way, what happened in the G8 was very intentional. And in fact, I think the trials have shown that there was very intentional political action on the part of the police, whether you want to call it fascist or whether you want to call it state-driven, or, I mean, it's, how do you react to something like that? You know, how do you mobilize, I guess, again, after something like this? Mm-hmm. And what kinds of efforts are you seeing in Genoa or Italy or anywhere?
Cosa che il G8 non è finito il 21 luglio col Diaz, col ride a scuola di Diaz, anche questo, perché in un certo senso è continuato per 8 anni nella stessa identica maniera. Cioè, in una maniera meno visibile, ma non diversa.
Però non ho una domanda.
No, ho detto questo. Quindi, no. Questo, mi sembra che questa cosa qua, e siamo in un'epoca più o meno di cambiamento. È un periodo, e questi movimenti sociali non riescono a più o meno a cogliere come le cose stiano cambiando e in che termini, cioè non sanno reagire a quello che sta succedendo. Quindi, non c'è niente, e niente è pronto per... Non c'è...
No,
e credo che sia questo che...
Qualcosa sulla tua domanda, perché secondo me ha insegnato qualcosa. Questi 7 anni di repressione ha insegnato...
Ma a chi ci ha lavorato?
Ha insegnato che da parte dello Stato e della Polizia c'è una certa metodologia, un certo modo di condurre delle questioni. È semplicemente quello, è l'unica cosa da fare è comportarsi di conseguenza, come ognuno meglio ritiene. Io personalmente ritengo che la cosa più sensata da fare adesso sarebbe un muro contro muro. Adesso sappiamo come lo Stato si comporta nei nostri confronti da quando ci sono state queste sentenze. Cioè, io ho sentito dire...
I would like to do a small recap of your conversation.
No, il fatto è che io ho sentito spesso dire una frase anche scontata, che il G8 è stato una prova di fascismo. E una prova di fascismo che c'è stata durante i giorni del G8 e dopo i giorni del G8, cioè durante i giorni del processo.
So I think both of them agree on the fact that the many people have said that the G8 was a moment of fascist repression,
yeah.
But it was not a moment. Yeah. It went on it's during the whole trial. It's continuing. Yeah. It continued during the whole trial.
Yeah.
So Lorenzo sees in this the state of change.
I'm saying exactly the opposite of what he's saying. Because But what I think is that the G8 and the consequences of the G8 were not an essay of fascism. Cos'è che hai detto? Una prova? A moment of fascism. But it was a moment of democracy. This is what democracy is. And what the movement don't know is how to deal with this. With this. That this is democracy. This is what democracy do. And we don't know how to deal with this.
Okay.
I think that this is not fascism. But, because this is not an exception. This is not exceptional what happened.
Yeah.
But this is what happened all the time in the world.
So
we are not able to deal.
This is what democracy looks like. It's not necessarily like, oh, look, oh, the police are being bad, naughty police. It's like, this is what the police are and this is what the police represent.
This is what they are allowed to do also.
G8 ha permesso a molti gruppi di ritornare alla politica, ha permesso a nuovi gruppi di costituirsi con il G8, attraverso il G8, con il processo G8.
The G8 has permitted the new groups to construct themselves, to react to the situation, for new groups to exist.
E dunque si va dai movimenti più anarchici ai movimenti più istituzionali. A me pare che i processi, dunque questi 7 anni in Italia, abbiano evidenziato che la politica, la cultura politica di sinistra o di destra è un solo progetto e che qualsiasi riferimento istituzionale debba essere, si debba perdere assolutamente qualsiasi progetto avendo come riferimento le istituzioni, cioè la politica, quella partitica.
So through the G8 there was also we have gotten closer to the institutions because we have to deal with the legal consequences. But I think he says that it has been proven that we have to search for no contact with the institutions. It's not doing anything.
Il progetto delle istituzioni è uno solo. L'abbiamo facilmente visto, come diceva Lorenzo, nel G8, nei processi. Tutto il resto del movimento, forse, deve confidare nelle singole persone, che sono tante comunque, anche se il movimento in questo momento è morto, che potrebbero invece concentrarsi su tutte le forme di repressione, le tante forme di repressione che comunque si sono moltiplicate, si sono migliorate, se non peggiorate in questi anni, e che coinvolgono tutti noi. Le organizzazioni devono rivolgersi come interlocutore non alle istituzioni per raggiungere i propri scopi, ma alle persone che comunque sono sempre pronte.
The institutions have shown what their project is. They have shown it in the G8 very clearly. They have shown that we can not trust them anyway. So we have to.
Le organizzazioni devono parlare alle persone, non lavorare per le istituzioni.
And don't have to work together with institutions, but we can work together with single people in these institutions, maybe but not with them.
I contenuti sono le tante repressioni, non solo quelle delle piazze, che ci coinvolgono nella nostra vita quotidiana.
And the movement has to work against repression, not only in the form that we see it. During demonstrations by the police against all different forms of repression that we suffer.
Perché l'allarme che in questi anni abbiamo potuto vedere noi che abbiamo seguito il G8 è che alcune repressioni sono diventate la normalità e purtroppo alcune persone le hanno accettate.
Because what we have seen through all of the years that we have worked is that repression is becoming normality and very many people accept it.
Secondo me sarebbe una buona cosa se già si riuscisse a capire al maggior di persone possibile che esiste questa repressione, che è valida più, cioè per tutti. Sarebbe un buon modo, una meta verso la quale tende.
Marta thinks it would be enough if people were aware that repression is against all of us, each and every one of us suffers. So of this repression, this would already be a good aim in itself. That repression is not only that instrument that, or that this person that you see on the street that affects your physical well-being, but it has many forms in our daily lives. We have talked about media. C'è un futuro? Even him.
Se posso fare una battuta, il futuro è nato in luglio notte.
Another joke. He said that the future started on the 21st of July, that's the day that the Diet School was raided. Mm-hmm.
perché la polizia ha ammazzato un movimento, ha ammazzato delle persone, ma non sapeva che queste persone avrebbero legato tra loro, ed è per questo che oggi siamo a Londra.
The police tried that night to kill people, to kill a movement, but they didn't know that they would link people together and get them to work collectively.
Noi, che apparteniamo, alcuni di noi, a diversi gruppi, abbiamo lavorato per il Genoa Legal Forum, ma abbiamo scoperto tanti altri gruppi in Europa grazie a tutte le persone che hanno poi partecipato al processo come parte offerta.
And we that belong to different collectives have worked together and we have discovered all over Europe people to link up with, and this is also the reason that we are today here in London.
Ed è per questo che siamo a Londra, come siamo stati a Berlino, a Parigi, perché pensiamo che sia utile e sia giusto poter far nascere un progetto con persone internazionali che hanno vissuto questa esperienza.
So this is why we are now in London, but we have also been in Berlin, we have been in Paris. We want to find people, we want to create a collective way of working with people that have suffered this repression.
You were listening to participants from the legal secretariat of the Proce CG8. If you would like to find out more and investigate the work that they have been doing and will continue to do, check out www.procescg8.org, which is spelled P-R-O-C-E-S-S-I-G and the number 8. The Proce CG8 group will be in London for a week and then going to Bristol. While in London, they will be showing their film at the Pogo Cafe on Tuesday, December 9th at 7 p.m. and then again at the London Action Resource Centre on Wednesday, December 10th at 7 p.m. again. This is a great opportunity to meet them. They are really lovely people, so do come along if you have a chance. In the future, the Proce CG8 intend to initiate an archival project for the vast amount of material and evidence that was collected in conjunction with the trials. They will also be looking to work with other groups on documentaries and documentation projects. They are eager to meet and link up with like-minded people doing documentation work and activism on issues such as police and state brutality and repression, and would like to start a global network, so do get in touch if you're interested. Thank you very much to Nina for translating and to Simon for getting us all in touch. We hope to see you all at the next G8 in Italy.
Shock attack and team come down, turn your back. Because me sweeter than the water with a coconut, me nicer than the lollipop. But watch a man, the eye on the mountain and the cool of the breeze, the little of the fish here, the tight of the squeeze. It smell like a overnight rice and peas. The sun come down, the earth get hotter, the girl fish smell like a old leather rotter. For money just a bubble like a soup in a pot. She have two breasts, she wear a long dress betwixt her leg. She have a bird nest betwixt her leg. She have a bird nest. Ca everywhere me go, ca them a say me a the best. Me mash it na the east and me mash it na the west. She like how me dress, she like how me caress. Ca one spliff a day keep the evil away. Ca one spliff a day keep the evil away. Ca I a believe I a boss DJ. She hear me DJ, she give me love right away. And 20 pack of craving it. Ca one a 20 pack of craving it. Ca me say one spliff a day keep the evil away. Ca one spliff a day keep the evil away. Me say she young, me say she sweet like any plum. Me say she young, me say she sweet like any plum. But one thing with that, she don't qualify. She tell me a lie that she don't have a guy. This girl won't satisfy. This girl won't satisfy. But what she hear me DJ, she tell her boyfriend bye bye. She hear me DJ, she tell her boyfriend bye bye. Billy Badon. Me say me bad name. not a freedom opportunity. Right? Me went a over tree. Cause what do me see? I am 6 naughty. Cause 6 whitey. Cause one of the naughty. I feel a poverty. The other naughty. I suck a tea. I am all of them. I drink up jelly. They must come in to the music done by Billy. But through them, you say not to travel with enough money. Them take the plane like a taxi. I tell them, the man not to feed them opportunity. But lot of them man not to feed them opportunity. The lion and the mountain and the cool of the breeze. The wide of the fishy.
Hi, this is Patrick here, and I'm with Professor Chaos. And we're going to talk a little bit about the critical mass and the recent activities in the House of Lords. So, Professor, do you want to just give us a rundown on what's happened in the Lords and why it's significant?
Well, can I give you a little history of critical mass?
Yeah, work with it.
Which is that it started probably about 15 years ago in San Francisco. It was just a bunch of cyclists who got together, and the reason they called it critical mass is they wanted to get a mass of cyclists so that it could kind of change people's attitudes to cycling. And then other cities started taking it up. So now, on the last Friday of the month, there's over 400 different cities around the world where the cyclists get together and just cycle around their particular city. And it's a celebration of cycling, really. In London, we all go from under Waterloo Bridge outside the National Film Theatre between 6 and 7, really. Best to kind of get there about 6:30. And we all just cycle off in a kind of random kind of fashion. There's normally between 200 and there's up to 1,000 cyclists do it. So, and people are cycling for various reasons. Some people cycle just for celebrating cycling. Some people cycle because they've got political agenda about cycling. Some people cycle because it makes them feel safe in the London streets because they're in early safety in numbers.
How representative do you think critical mass is of cyclists in general? And
I think we get a good cross section, really, of different cyclists. You know, we get everything from the commuters who are just kind of taking the routes before they go home, right the way through to families and politically motivated people too. So I reckon it's a pretty good cross section, really, and which is great because, you know, when you're cycling around with lots of other cyclists, you kind of mix with the different people that you can converse with, and you're not always cycling around with the same people because, you know, obviously some people move around in the mass, so it's always nice you get into different conversations with different people. Very nice. So anyway, so it was going very well, and then and the police have been pretty good, really. They started out when we started in London. It's been going for 13 years now, so just after the San Francisco riots started, not long after the San Francisco riots started. And the police have always, more or less always, been with us. And in the beginning, they were on motorbikes. And then they switched a few years ago to bicycles. They have always been, on the whole, they've been fairly supportive of us. For instance, if we go to a junction, they block the junction so that the cyclists can ride through. They don't normally give us any harassment or anything, so sometimes people want to kind of stay in a junction for a few minutes, and some people like to kind of lift the bikes above their heads as a kind of gesture about cycling, and they've been pretty cool about that. But 3 years ago, we suddenly got all these letters that were handed to us personally to say that we were actually, what we were doing was illegal, and that because we hadn't given the police notice of our route or the names of the organisers, we were liable to possible arrest. Obviously, that was very worrying for people. And at that particular time, the Friends of the Earth started a new Rights and Justice Centre, and they chose to use that as their first case. So they asked me whether I'd be prepared to front that, which I was very happy to do, because obviously I wasn't pleased with this letter we got. And that was the beginning of 3 years of fighting this possible threat. I'm delighted to say that we've now come out the other end with a total support for our cause, and no need for us to give the police any notification when we go out on these rides.
So this was a decision that was made in the House of Lords last week. And I mean, so did the case go through every level of the courts and then arrive at the Lords, or did it immediately go straight to the highest court in the land?
No, it started off in the High Court in the Strand, and we actually won the case originally. We had a very good human rights lawyer whose name was... it's funny, isn't it? I had trouble with his name. I'll remember it at some point. He gave a very good case over and used the fact that there is a proviso in this law which the police were using as a kind of weapon against us, which was that we were a protest, which in itself is fairly controversial. There is a proviso in the law that if there is a protest, the police need to have notice of the route and the organisers, unless it's commonly or customarily held. Obviously, this had been running for 12 years, so we use that as a defence that it has been commonly and customarily held. But the problem was that, and we actually won the case, but then on appeal, the police's argument was that because it's not the same route each time, that wouldn't actually apply, and we therefore lost the case. So then we had to take it, to the only place that we could take it from there was the House of Lords. So we took it to the House of Lords, and we had five law lords who argued this. We had to wait for a few weeks for the judgment. And when it came out, lo and behold, a unanimous decision. All five law lords were in our favour. So that's absolutely brilliant. And as a result of that, we now are able to, not only ourselves, are able to go out and ride en masse without having to give any notification, but it means that if anyone else in the country wants to start up a cycle ride, critical mass cycle ride, they're perfectly able to without any problem for them as well. So all in all, it's all good news.
And so what do you think provoked the police to go from being relatively supportive to taking you to the High Court?
Well, I think basically, personally, I feel that the police need to have a certain amount of control over these things. You know, they want to feel that they have control over it. And because of it, there's a kind of anarchic nature to it, whereas, we don't had a route and we just go riding around, they didn't like it, although they were perfectly capable of policing it, but quite successfully, and there's never been any sort of major problems, and that was brought up in the court.
But you're reckoning that the police took all this trouble to bring you to court so that they could control the critical mass, but the last three critical masses in London anyway have been devoid of any police presence, which is a relatively new phenomenon and people are having to get used to it again. But Why do you think that the police have all of a sudden abandoned ship?
Yes, this is a question that we're all asking. Why indeed? And I felt when they first left us to it that it was because they were not happy with us taking it to the courts, and they were kind of hoping that there would be problems and that they could then turn around and say, well, you know, obviously, you know, we need to keep this in within legislation. And But I don't really know, you know, I don't know.
Do you reckon that the future of the critical mass is pretty bright now?
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's good. And I think it'll probably be a bit of a precedence for, you know, for other things as well, you know, other different protests.
Hmm.
Where this judgment will probably be cited as being, you know, a reason why they don't have to. People don't have to worry so much about the legality of it. So
have you any final thoughts or words for us, Professor Chaos?
Well, first of all, yeah, I remembered the name of our shame on me to forget his name. But our barrister's name was Michael Forden. And you know, he's a wonderful human rights lawyer, and he worked very hard for us, and which I'm you know, most grateful. And also to a special thanks to Phil Michaels from the Friends of the Earth, who really initiated the whole thing and has worked hardest on it. You know, without them, we would never have gone as far as we did. And yeah, and finally, let's. You know, let's show that cycling is one of the ways towards a better future, more carbon free, and you know, let's all do what we can to make the world a better place. After all, it's you know, it's there for our children and our children's children, and we owe it to them.
Yellow wine up your body, girl, dance on your toe. Coulda come from Japan, come from Mexico. When you hear the reggae music for your dancing, so make we chill out, chill out, now pass it, chill out, chill out. Pass it, chill out, chill out, now pass it, chill out, chill out. Trill out every party, yeah. When I said trill out, it's because we love you. Yes, I said trill out every party. Gotta take it cool, gotta take it cool. I know that we all went to school, so you gotta learn to take it cool. Pass it alone, cause we love you. Pass it alone, please think positive. No, me quit alone, tell out, no, me quit alone, tell out. Do me love, me ganja pipe, you know me not touch a coke. Police in England done by Peter Major. Chakadimo Sava fella, me say don't stop them up. Michael Palmer Wava fella, make your dance on your door. When me hold my microphone, they make your chill out, chill out. Pass it chill out, chill out, now pass it chill out, chill out. Pass it chill out, chill out, now pass it chill out, chill out. This is your song, gentlemen, I dance you, I tell them so. Thank you one day, what are you feel hold them so. Time for them, I will wear the green grass and grow. Put that time below the river where the fresh water flow. So me wake up one morning, look through my window. So me look up in the sky, so it started to snow. Just talk to them when I dog get in, so I tell you so. Make it chill out, chill out, no, make it chill out, chill out. Make it chill out, chill out, no, make it chill out, chill out. Chill out in the dance hall, please. I want you to hold your party. Oh yeah, oh, see your partner. You can look a cool and lively all the time. Keep on chilling out, keep on chilling out in the reggae dance hall, yeah. Keep on chilling out, keep on dancing out in the reggae dance hall. Everybody to load. So make with the load, the load, so make with the load, the load. This a yard a posse, fill out, fill out. Can you just posse, make it fill out, fill out. And the England posse, fill out now. And the New York posse,
fill out. Hello, hey. It's
yeah.
Wicked.
That one went out to Heavy D up in Edinburgh.
Hey, Heavy D.
Our one and only Scottish listener.
Scottish correspondent, I think.
Scottish correspondent. One day he will be.
He hasn't really corresponded yet.
Well, he was in correspondence with me the other day.
All right, cool. And he left you his prize jazz records.
He did, his acid nice. Jazz records.
Acid jazz records.
Yeah.
Wicked.
We're going to be hitting you with them in the new year, so don't forget to tune in.
Yeah. I'd also like to do a bit of a shout-out to Ronnie C.
Ronnie C, retiring next
retiring.
Week.
Retiring.
After a long and prosperous career.
Of making you.
Of making me and my brothers and sisters.
All right, cool.
So, now we're going to, lung collapse is going to hit us for an hour and a half, probably.
Unlikely to be so long, dude.
No? Okay. He's going to hit us anyway.
Just start the way it should be. Just start the way it should be. Love for one another.
I'm not Thank you. Hip-hop power. Thank you. We'll be right back. what he begins. I won't fail you. I'm not afraid.
Yeah. You will be. You will be.
and tired of hearing bomber clad get down, shake your fucking booty. See? People sick and tired of hearing darling, I blood clad, love you. You turn on the fucking radio 24 bomber clad hours a day. Hear darling, I...
No. Yeah. spaciousness. Laugh if you wanna laugh, but it's he who love loves get the most. Don't tell a blind man go when the sign says stop.
Sign says stop. Sign says stop.
Before God and man, that no right.
That no right. That no right.
Don't tell a blind man go when the sign says stop.
When the sign says stop. When the sign says stop.
Before God and man, that no right.
Stop.
Before God and man,